This is DW News live from Berlin. A coronavirus vaccine could now be one step closer. Pfizer and German partner BioNTech have asked for emergency approval for their vaccine in the US. They say they could begin sending out doses within hours of approval. Also on the show, as Saudi Arabia prepares to host the G20 summit, some European lawmakers call for a boycott of the event, demanding Saudi leaders come clean on human rights abuses. And he's set to become the Bundesliga's youngest player of all time. We introduce you to 16-year-old Youssoufa Moukoko and talk about his future in Germany's top flight. I'm Anthony Howard, welcome. US drug giant Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech have applied for emergency authorization for their coronavirus vaccine in the United States. The vaccine has performed well in the initial safety trials, and based on that, the US Food and Drug Administration could grant permission before testing is complete. If it does, the first doses could be administered next month. For many people, the severe health and economic impacts of the pandemic mean a vaccine can't come soon enough.
A small pub with a big history.
It's 60 years of just stuff flying everywhere.
The Albatross Pub in California once hosted intellectuals of the free speech movement in the 60s. Today, it's shutting down for good due to the coronavirus pandemic.
House. It's where people came, everybody came to hang out and talk, and it was a public space. It was a community space.
It's a familiar story, not just in the US, but all across the world. The lives of many have been upended by the pandemic. But on Friday, some good news. German drug developer BioNTech and its American partner Pfizer announced that they will be asking the US Food and Drug Administration for emergency approval of their COVID-19 vaccine. It comes after the companies posted promising results from an advanced trial. It showed a 94% success rate in adults over 65.
And the fact that 8-9 months after the start of this project, we have readiness to manufacture and get approved for vaccines of this efficacy, definitely it is something that will redefine the industry.
It will start the clock on a process that could see the vaccine approved for use in the US by mid-December. Once approved, distribution will become the focus, and there's a mixed response from Americans as to whether or not they will get the shot.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. As soon as possible.
Not really. Just because I don't even do the flu shot myself, just because of my immune system, that's been really good.
I would, yes. Yes, I would.
Not personally. I feel like it's everybody's own choice, you know, because not everybody agrees with vaccines.
But experts don't want people getting too excited, stressing that the manufacture and distribution of the vaccine is a complex task and will take some time.
I mean, even if we look about the, 60-70% population in the world to be immunized to see the real impact of the vaccine, we are talking about 11 billion doses, and I don't think that one vaccine can be produced at the scale for immunization around the globe.
BioNTech and Pfizer have also started applications in the UK and in Europe for use of their vaccine.
The G20 summit of the 20 wealthiest nations and emerging powers is hosted by Saudi Arabia this year, but the country has repeatedly faced international criticism over human rights concerns. Well, ahead of the primarily online forum, members of the European Parliament urged Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and the President of the European Council, Charles Michel, to boycott the event.
Jamal Khashoggi, an outspoken critic of Saudi Arabia's government, murdered in a Saudi consulate. Blogger Raif Badawi publicly flogged and sentenced to 10 years in prison for allegedly insulting Islam. Activist Lujin Al-Hatrol detained for seeking the right to drive. Those are just three examples of human rights violations in Saudi Arabia, the country hosting this year's G20 summit.
Since assuming the G20 presidency, the government of Saudi Arabia has been hard at work trying to rebrand its image. So there's a large global public relations campaign underway in order to encourage investment in the country. And yet behind these initiatives and reform, the reality on the ground is that there is a brutal crackdown being led by the Saudi authorities against its own nationals.
That's the reason why European lawmakers are taking a stand.
The EU cannot remain silent.
Last month, they passed a resolution calling on EU officials to downgrade their participation in the summit, even though it's only a virtual event. Mark Tarabella is spearheading the campaign.
We ask for the downgrading. Why? Because an empty seat is not a good policy. It would be better to send not a high delegation level, but a delegation who is able to deliver a message, a strong message, toward the Saudi authorities.
The lawmakers also sent a personal letter to European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and European Council President Charles Michel. We asked the Commission for their response and were told the summit was too important not to attend.
We've been raising our concerns and we discussed further how to improve the human rights situation, the protection of human rights in the kingdom, and we will continue to pay utmost attention to this question.
EU officials say it's important to maintain dialogue and keep communication channels open. But human rights groups argue leaders must use this summit as an opportunity to ramp up the pressure on Riyadh and hold the country to account for human rights abuses. They demand that at least all the women's rights activists currently in jail should be released as soon as possible. After all, one of the themes of the G20 is women's empowerment.
Well, for more, let's ask Christian Blut, who specialises in international trade with the Bertelsmann Institute here in Germany. Christian, welcome. Saudi Arabia is hosting this weekend's G20 summit. The oil-wealthy kingdom, though, is recently and repeatedly accused of major human rights violations. Are they the right host?
Well, whether or not they are the right host, they're probably not. But what's actually important is that the international policy response to COVID has been lagging behind the challenge for quite some time now. And it's really important that the international community gets its act together and steps up the measures that are taken against the pandemic and its economic fallout. So I'd say it's very important to talk, even if this meeting is hosted by a somewhat unsavoury host.
Christian, the summit starts, as you mentioned, as we hit a critical phase of the COVID-19 pandemic. All of these economies represented need the vaccine to bounce back. How much will competition for access to the vaccine be part of these discussions?
What's really important is that we find a strategy to distribute the vaccine worldwide. If we don't manage to do this, the COVID virus can come back from a remote corner of the world and will haunt us again. So it's really important that we find a way to coordinate the distribution of vaccines, that we do so effectively, and that the financing gap, which currently still persists, is closed. I guess there will probably be an element of competition who gets it first, which will be unavoidable. But what's really important is that eventually everyone gets it.
Christian, from COVID to the great unknown of this forum this time around, this is likely Donald Trump's last appearance on the world stage as US president. What are the other nations expecting from the outgoing president?
Well, although this is a really important meeting, I think expectations are very low, and that has to do with Donald Trump. His America First approach has turned out to be extremely short-sighted. It hasn't served America well, and it hasn't served the international community well. When I said that the international policy response has really been lagging behind the challenge, what I meant is we should have acted much earlier than we have and offered debt relief to poor countries. Rich countries have thrown an enormous amount of money at combating COVID, and poor countries haven't been able to do that in the same degree. So Donald Trump will probably go down as a president that has hampered an effective response to this massive crisis. And everyone, I think, is waiting for Joe Biden to assume the presidency and to see more leadership from the United States in combating this crisis and others.
Christian Blut, project manager for the Bertelsmann Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a look now at some of the other stories making headlines around the world. In the US state of Wisconsin, police are searching for a suspect after a mall shooting wounded several people. According to the local mayor, several people were taken to hospital, but none of their injuries are life-threatening. Police describe the suspect as a white male in his 20s or 30s. Several explosions rocked the Afghan capital Kabul on Saturday. Authorities say at least 8 people were killed and dozens wounded after rocket-propelled mortars were fired from 2 vehicles. Several other similar attacks took place in densely populated parts of the city. No group has yet claimed responsibility. Police have used tear gas and water cannon to repel anti-government protesters on the streets of the Chilean capital, Santiago. Demonstrators were marking the anniversary of the protest movement that began last year, demanding greater equality in Chile through reforms to the pension, healthcare and education systems. Ugandan opposition presidential candidate Bobi Wine has been released on bail after being charged with holding rallies likely to spread the coronavirus. The arrest of the pop star turned politician earlier this week triggered protests that led to at least 37 deaths. Uganda is due to hold presidential and parliamentary elections in mid-January. Some sport now. Borussia Dortmund player Youssoufa Moukoko just turned 16 on Friday and he soon could have something else to celebrate. That's because he's on the brink of becoming the Bundesliga's youngest ever player.
Youssoufa Moukoko is already used to breaking records. He scored 46 goals in one season playing for Dortmund's under-17s team when he was just 14 years old. Born in Cameroon, Moukoko is not your average academy product. I was a street footballer in Cameroon. There wasn't any local team, you just played with friends. In 2014, he moved to Germany to live with his father and 2 years later joined Borussia Dortmund, a club with a tradition of playing young talents. The current record for youngest Bundesliga player was set by another Dortmund Academy product, Nuri Sahin, who was then 1 month shy of his 17th birthday. This January, coach Lucien Favre called Moukoko up to the senior team, but league regulations meant he could not play until he turned 16. He's also caught the eye of Germany coach Jogi Löw and is already playing for the country's under-20s national team. I've seen a few videos of him playing. It's almost unbelievable how someone his age can score so many goals against players 2 or 3 years older than him. He does have these qualities that I've very rarely come across before. A once-in-a-generation talent who may still be on ball-collecting duty after his professional debut, but the future certainly looks promising.
In tennis now, Daniil Medvedev kept up his perfect record at the season-ending ATP Finals as he won his third and final group match. He had a comfortable time beating Diego Schwartzman in straight sets. Russian's form in London is in stark contrast to his debut at the tournament last year when he lost all three matches. But things are about to get harder. Medvedev will play 20-time Grand Slam champion Rafael Nadal in the semi-finals. Quick reminder of the top story we're following for you this hour. US pharma giant Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech are seeking emergency authorization for their coronavirus vaccine. It's the first coronavirus vaccine to go before the US Food and Drug Administration. The US government expects a decision in mid-December. Now, don't forget, you can always get DW News on the go. Just download our app from Google Play or from the App Store, and that will give you access to all the latest news and information from around the world, as well as push notifications for any breaking news. And if you're part of a news story, you can also use the DW app to send us photos and videos of what's happening in your neck of the woods. Up next here on DW, it's our reporter series on location. We introduce you to a 14-year-old who is fighting the effects of climate change in the Caribbean. Now, you can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram on the social channels. The handle is at DW News. For now, though, from me and the team here in Berlin, I'm